everyone today. This is Shane Sands. I'm your host for today's program on Gospel Alliance Radio. I am so blessed to be here today. So much has been going on in my life. I'll get caught up with that here very shortly. But Gospel Alliance Radio is a ministry of United in Christ Jesus. We seek to bring glory to God the Father in all that we do. We do this by the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his free gift of eternal life that is offered to any who come by repentance and faith in him alone. And we do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is to God alone to be the glory, from him and through him and to him. To him alone it belongs the glory. Well, I am super excited to be with you, as I said. It's been way too long, kind of to get everyone caught up on what's happening. A little over, well, it's now 4 weeks since my mom passed away. She passed away on May 27th. We discovered, we became aware on Monday the 28th. And since that time, a lot of things going on, had a lot of things happening. Trying to, you know, make arrangements, trying to have all the things accomplished that we have to get accomplished in order to, to make the arrangements to be able to have her final wishes carried out. So then I was really blessed that my dad and stepmom were able to come in, and they spent a few days with us, and they just left yesterday. So whirlwind, still continuing to get ready for South Africa coming up. So with all of that being said, there's a lot of things going on, a lot of things that have been on my heart, a lot of things that I wanted to talk about, but honestly, nothing to wear. Been able to just sit down and plug in, you know, a bunch of time as far as making notes. There's a lot of little things I can talk about that I don't need to have notes on, which is why we're doing an open forum. And the open forum is really, I'm just going to go as the Lord leads. We're going to pray here in just a second. I'm going to kind of go over the outline, the form of how things run with this. And then we're just going to jump into it. And I'll kind of give you an idea of the things that we'll be doing. So with that, let's first go to the Lord in prayer. Then I'm going to read a couple of sections of scripture that go in with one of the topics, and then we're going to go from there. All right. O righteous Heavenly Father, glorious God, you who are and have been and always will be, you are God. You are worthy of all honor and praise and blessing. You are God, and you will exalt your name in all the earth. You are God, and there is no other. Bless you, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bless you that you have sent your Son to do what we could not do, to live the life we could not, sinless and perfect in thought, word, and deed, always doing what was pleasing in your sight, the author and perfecter of faith. To die the death that we deserve because of our sin, our rebellion, our vile hatred, our just puny attempt at our own pride to be our own individual God, not accountable to anyone. To point our fingers at you in rebellion. That your wrath is justly deserved upon all because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Christ died for sin according to the scriptures, your word, which says that the soul of the Father is mine, the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sins will perish. But he was not left to decay. You did not let him decay because he fulfilled your word. You vindicated your name. And you raised him from the dead. on the third day, having conquered sin and death, rising victoriously, appearing to the apostles, performing many signs and wonders. Then, at your time, your choosing, he ascended to your right hand, where he now sits, ruling and reigning, interceding, and at a time of your choosing, Father, returning. Oh, bless you, Holy Father. Bless you for your glorious gospel. Father, as we go about this program today, I pray that you would bless those who would be listening in. I pray that you would give eyes to see and ears to hear, that you would lead me into whatever topics that you would have me to discuss. That above all, Christ would be honored and exalted. That he would be made much of. And that even one sinner would be granted repentance and faith. Bless you, Holy Father. To you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, guys. So, for those of you who've not been a part of Gospel Alliance Radio, we're going to give you a quick rundown on how this is going to work. And it's pretty simple. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. You can go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 is where I'm going to begin at, and not the whole chapter. Just a little bit at the... there's one specific part over here. And I'll pull that up here in just a second. And I'm going to read some scripture. We're going to then jump in. I've got a couple of different topics I want to talk about tonight. One is perseverance of the saints. And I really started thinking a lot about this when my mom passed away. I'll bare my soul a little bit here in just a minute on that. But started thinking about, what does that mean? What does it mean, perseverance of the saints? And then a couple of other things. There's a big thing going on, it seems, right now, where people are trying to talk about that hell is not eternal, that at some point God's just going to uncreate you and you're not going to exist anymore, and believe that's what the Bible teaches. It's so far off base, but we're going to talk hopefully a little bit about that. Abortion, immigration, I don't know, whatever else may come about my way. You're always welcome to call in. 929-477-1395 to ask your question. You know, maybe there's something you want to look at. I don't know. So with that being said, I'll probably pause a little later on. We'll take about 5 minutes of a break. And you're now hearing my dog. So, yeah, that's one of the beauties about having the show at your place. Gets to do all that good stuff. All right. He sees the UPS man. Oh. Yeah, he's an awesome doggy. Awesome. And he actually, praise the Lord, it's been 4 weeks now. He started having without a seizure. If you guys didn't know, Jacob has epilepsy, and he's been having seizures. And so it's been 4 weeks now since we've started him on his medicine, since he's had one. So praise the Lord for that. Delicious cup of coffee. All right, so again, I'll take a break, and then we're just going to keep going today. So it's just gonna really be a free for all type of thing. Yeah, there you go. All right, so Romans chapter 8. And let me see. We're gonna start in verse 26, and we're gonna work all the way through verse 39. Romans chapter 8. Verse 26 through 39, the word of the Lord. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, when my mom passed away, I started thinking about, her salvation. Where is, is my mom saved? What does this look like? What does perseverance of the saints look like? Kind of weighed on me for a while. Because I didn't know how to look at, address. I know what's in Scripture. I know that it says that saints will persevere. I also know in 1 John. I also know in 1 John that no one will continue in patterns of sin. They won't continue to practice sin. There may be a struggle against some sin, but it's not going to be just a full-blown, let me give into it and have at it type of thing. That's not how a believer is going to live. So, what does perseverance of the saints look like? Reading out of Romans 8, perseverance of the saints means that, quite simply, those whom God has set aside, the Father has set aside and given to the Son, will hear the Lord Jesus' voice, will hear his word, will follow the Lord Jesus, and will eventually be taken home to be where the great shepherd is, to see him in his glory, to look upon his face, to worship him in splendor and majesty. Yes. Drill down a little bit into that. So what does it mean to, during our life? What does it mean? Well, does this mean that we're going to live perfect? Because there are those who will claim, Pelagianists, will claim that once you're saved, you're not going to sin anymore. I mean, you're done. You're a new creation in Christ, and you no longer have a sin nature, and that's it. It's not going to happen. Glass of bottled water to go with my coffee. So what do you think? Because here's kind of what how I started thinking about it. I've often talked to my mom about her relationship with the Lord. I talked to her about her lifestyle, and her habits, that when I look in the Word of God, they don't seem to line up with someone who's saved. And yet she claims that she knows the Lord and that she had repented and asked forgiveness of sins in His name, that she was trusting in Christ. I've also seen her Bibles where she's had notes written in them, like a diligent student might do. I was blessed to talk to a lady who teaches her, and the lady was telling me how my mom always read and would ask questions, and they would talk about things out of the Word. Well, that looks like a believer. So what does perseverance look like? I go to 1 John, and I look, and it says, no one born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And so, in our lives, we go about day to day. For many, it's a struggle. And it's a struggle with the things of life. Whether that's becoming an alcoholic, suffering family members, passing away, losing jobs, great highs, great lows. Things happen in lifestyles, or you meet that special someone and you know you shouldn't be in a physical relationship with that individual. You just can't help it. So what does perseverance look like? Well, my friends, I think what God tells us and what He shows us in His Word is that we're going to sin. Notice it in 1 John, it tells us that makes a habit of practicing sin. Or just not sitting there just going, okay, yoo-hoo, we're going to just sin, temporary pleasure of sin, so it's A-okay. Let's just have a blast with that. It's not like that. It's like Paul talking in Romans, that in Romans 7, you know, who will save me from this, you know, wretched body of mine? Who's going to save me? He talks about that there's nothing good that dwells in him. Just sin dwells in his dead body. So Scripture shows clearly that a believer will go astray. They will go astray. They will sin. Will have anger, we'll have malice, but God, the Holy Spirit within us, will continually keep pulling us back. And at the end of the day, when I looked at my mom, she was always quick to think about the Lord forgiving and how we should be quick to forgive. And there's a lot of things that she talked about that had me to go, I could see my mom being saved. Perseverance of the saints is the one who starts down a path and every so often gets sidetracked and gets pulled back by God onto that narrow path. Until God finishes what He has started. When you read through Scripture, Jesus tells us that he goes to make a place for us, and that if he goes, he's going to come back. We read in 1 Peter that salvation reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Perseverance isn't looking at our mistakes. It's mourning over our mistakes, crying out to God for mercy and forgiveness. When we do that, knowing that he is a good father, those whom God has set aside for himself will end up going to heaven. They will. I don't see any other way around it. They will persevere. They will endure. Hardships will come and go. There will be sidetracks, but they won't continue in it. It won't be a deliberate continuation of it. There'll be a hatred for sin. There'll be a hatred for the things that are going on. I think of this one man, Archie, when I lived down in St. Augustine. And Archie was upper 80s, maybe early 90s. He was a World War II vet. And I always saw him smoking. He's always having a little bit of a cigarette. I'm like, wow, what's going on with that? I judged him by thinking that he's smart enough. He knows better. He's destroying the temple. Until the day that he came up and gave a bit of his testimony up on the stage. And it went something like this. Man, that he came up and said, before the congregation, the joy in the Lord, and he talked about cigarette smoking. He hated the cigarettes. He said, I wish I could quit. I can't. And then he says that in World War II, he was in the, I want to say it was either Navy, he was a pilot. And he received shrapnel. So the doctor actually needed to keep his blood thinned. And what he told Archie to do was smoke a cigarette a day. Yeah, just smoke that little cigarette every day. He hated the cigarettes. He didn't want to have them. And yet, he had become addicted to them. And in reality, it was what was saving his life. So it was keeping him going. So I thought about the thorn in the flesh for Paul. And I kept trying to put into different context how this works. And I've never looked at it quite the same after that. You know, you gotta get to know people before you make judgments. You have to walk a little bit in their shoes, see where they've been. But perseverance of the saints is just like Archie. I hate this sin. I hate this because I know that in one sense it is killing me. I know my lungs are getting all messed up. But I also know that if I don't smoke this, I'm in worse trouble. I still praying over and thinking on these things, and how does it look, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyway, perseverance. Those whom God has set aside and given to the Son will end up going to heaven. No ifs, ands, or buts. Nothing you can do to thwart it. Nothing you can do. Some people think that you can fall from grace. Some people say that you can do that. According to God's word, that doesn't happen. I'm memorizing the book of 1 John right now. And we just got done, and I'm reading through the one section where it tells us that they went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown that they all are not of us. And what God starts, he's going to finish. And those who do not belong to him, the root withers. Very bad. Very sad when a person falls away. But when those who are truly saved, they have a hope. It's a true anchor. They have a hope, which is better than any silver or gold. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take a short break, and then from there we're going to come back and jump into the other topics. Yeah, I just wanted to, first thing, talk about perseverance of the saints. What does that look like? How does that work? What are some things in life that we can look at? Maybe you have a question about it. Maybe you have a comment. You can call in at 477-1395. 477-1395. Area code is 929. All right. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back. All right.
United in Christ Jesus began in 2009 as a prayer and praise email for those in the U.S., South Africa, and Northern Ireland. From that humble beginning, the Lord allowed us to become a registered missions ministry that has reached hundreds of thousands, if not millions, locally, nationally, and around the world. Today, UCJ is active locally in Ohio and internationally in Ireland. Through street preaching and crosswalking, one-on-one interaction, working with local churches in evangelism training, track writing and distribution, social media, our website, and internet radio, we are so blessed by the many ways the gospel is being proclaimed. To find out more about UCJ and the Lord's saving grace in our lives, visit us today at www.unitedinchristjesus.org. Also, don't forget to check us out on Facebook and Twitter. Andrew Fuller has been quoted as asking, "There is a gold mine in India, but it seems as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" To that, a man by the name of William Carey responded, "I will venture to go down, but remember that you must hold the ropes." You see, some have been called to the task of going down into the laboring wells of gospel proclamation, and others have been given the task of holding tight to the rope and providing support to those who venture out. Both carry a responsibility and a reward. United in Christ Jesus rejoices with those who feel called to join us in the exploration of souls. Equally, we value the necessity of those who are given charge of the ropes. In other words, those who support the work of missions through prayer and financial support. To successfully reach our world with the saving message of Jesus Christ, we are asking for your faithful monthly support. Just go to www.unitedinchristjesus.org and click on the Contribute button at the top of the page. Donation options are conveniently listed there for you. Again, thank you for holding the ropes for our United in Christ Jesus team. God bless you.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Shane Sands here, your host for today's Gospel Alliance Radio. It's open forum. It means I'm just running and gunning. Just got done talking about perseverance of the saints. Man, what a day. I am needing a lot of coffee. Early morning keeps on going. But you know what? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There will be plenty of time when we shed this mortal body, put on the immortal, and we get to worship continually. Saints, I'm telling you, is that not what our heart's joy is? That we will be with him where he is. We will see him as he is. It's, oh my goodness. What a blessing. What a blessing. So we talked about perseverance of the saints. What else is going on? Things that are just kind of, I just don't get things, you know, all these different topics. So let's look at abortion, I guess. Abortion. You know, I really don't even think that this is an issue. I don't see where we go into God's word. Take a look at, like, Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I don't know how we can go into God's word knowing that we are his image bearers, that he created us special and unique, that he knows every hair on our head, not one hair will fall to the ground save his will. And look at abortion as anything other than murder. We know that if a sea turtle has a nest and lays eggs, those eggs will become turtles, and we will put barricades around those nests. We will keep people from stepping on it. We will keep, you know, when they hatch, we're going to keep birds away and all those things. Why? Because we know those eggs in that ground will become live, and they will go with the little flippers on out into the ocean and off they go. Well, so too, when a lady, when she has a child comes into this world and smiles real big. We will put more value on the eggs of an endangered species bird or sea turtle. We will do so much of those things because we know what the end result will be, and we want to guard that. But we won't guard the life of one of God's image bearers in the womb. We'll say that that's fine. It's a woman's choice. No one asked the baby. If there's rape, the baby didn't cause the rape. If there's incest, the baby didn't cause incest. If there's Down syndrome, the baby didn't cause any of those things. I sit here and it's almost like I'm trying to struggle with how we talk about this because, well, quite honestly, I have sat down and I've thought about what possible scenario is there, what kind of scenario is there that would, in some even far-reaching justifiable manner, allow for the taking of the life of this child. And I've only been able to think of one type of scenario, only one. Only one in which taking the life of the child in the womb could be found justifiable, but it's still taking of the life. And that is if somehow, some way, that both the baby and the mother would die if the baby was born. Meaning there's some type of genetic defect or something so that if the baby comes out, is exposed to air, the umbilical cord is cut, something along those lines, the baby is going to die. No ifs, ands, or buts, that the baby is going to die. And that if the baby also comes out via C-section or whatever, the mother will die. And it's 100% guaranteed. There's not the chance, slightest chance that that's not going to happen. If the child is born, the child will die and the mother will die. That is the only type of scenario that I could see where we could take the life of the poor child. Abortion is bad. Abortion is just that. It's murder. There's no defense. There's no grounds by which we can take it to punish the child for another person's sin. I've heard all sorts of disgusting and vile excuses. Well, it puts a cramp in my lifestyle. I had other things going on. I was in college, and if I would have had the child, I would have had to quit school. Honestly, you shouldn't have had sex. It's called being responsible. It's called being an adult. You take that type of step and you become pregnant. Well, both the male and the female have now a responsibility to the life of a child. I don't know how else to tell you. It's not the unforgivable sin. There's still opportunity if you've had an abortion. If you're thinking about having an abortion, don't do it. There's so many other options. There's so many other better ways to go. Don't do it. Children are a gift of God. Children are a gift. Don't go through it. All right, so what else? You know what else is going on right now that I think is really kind of crazy? I mean, where's my coffee? Oh, first some water. It's this immigration thing. You know, we have people coming from around, you know, the world, mainly Central America, that trying to come up to bypass the lines and sneak into the country. They're trying to come into the country illegally because they know that, well, they could get a job, they could get support, they could get all sorts of other resources. And, you know, I already know the politicians are going to do what the politicians do, whether, you know, regardless of how this is going, if it was a Democratic president, the Republicans would probably be doing the same thing. It comes down to, is this type of immigration biblical? Are we, as a country, should we be those that just say, all right, come on in, pour on in, do what you got. I don't think so. And when I say I don't think so, it's because what I see in God's word. In the nation of Israel, if a person wanted to come and become an Israelite, partake and be able to go into the temple and all those things, there's a lot of things they had to go through, and basically they had to renounce everything, and they had to become a Jewish person. Think of... Oh, now my mind is just escaping me. Think of with Boaz, was it Ruth? Ruth was married. She was a foreigner. She said, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. She's like, I will. I renounce it all. And that's really what it comes down to, is renouncing it all. Right now, we have a country, we live, and this is really, it's called the rule of law. And when we look in God's word, we're to obey the laws. We're, you know, unless they go in direct contradiction to God's word. Just as Daniel did the very best for Nebuchadnezzar and did everything within his power to make him successful. And yet, even after he knew the document was signed, he went up and he continued to pray. Well, that would be the example that we have. Jesus says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. I've heard the other side of the argument saying that, you know, we could be evangelizing these people. They come in. We could be taking them in, whether it's from the Middle East, whether it's from Central America, whether it's from Antarctica. I mean, wherever it might be. The other side of it is we have an opportunity to preach the gospel. But that's not happening. And then number two, there's still the rule of law. And it's very easy. If a person comes into our country illegally, they're already committing an illegal act. That's not a difficult thing to grasp. If you do this again, if you continue to break the law, consequences. If you do this, I hope and pray that everyone that comes close to us will have an opportunity to preach Christ, Him crucified and Him risen. But as a Christian, I'm not under any obligation to just allow people to pour into this country, skirt the rule of law, so I can pat myself on the back I know for many it doesn't seem like that simple, but I really think it is. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I think we have lots of things that we can do, lots of things that we can do to help, but to just allow people to just to be able to come in, skirt the law, bypass all of those who have been waiting in line, doing the things that they're supposed to do correctly, is dishonoring of God. It's actually dishonoring to him. I don't know how you can say that it doesn't. All right. What else do we have going on? What else is out there? Hold on. We have someone calling in. Let me find out. I don't know who this is, but here we go. Hello?
Hello, sir. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I was wondering, did you already discuss the whole immigration issue that's been going on this week? Or
I've just started talking about it, yeah. Just started talking. You got any thoughts on it?
Yeah, I just find it kind of interesting how the media and the Democrats in general all of a sudden they actually care about this now, considering what was happening back in 13, 14, and 15. And someone who's followed this issue closely for many years, and I find it interesting how they all of a sudden care about it now when it benefits them politically. But when it didn't benefit them politically, they were completely radio silent on the issue.
I kind of started talking off on the issue that, since this program isn't one that's really focused on the politics of it, I do know where you're coming from. And on a personal side of this, I agree, because I know the history with Obama and even George Bush and even Bill Clinton and who was doing what, when, where, and why. For myself, it is the way it is in America and really in the world. People are struggling for power, and when one party allows something to go on and they remain silent, and then when the next party is trying to actually enforce the rule of law, then all of a sudden you're the most immoral, bad person that's ever been put on the face of the earth. Yeah, it's a crying shame. When we look at scripture, we see that people are always struggling for power. They want to lord it over you. They want to have that thumbscrew per se. And what I'm looking at from an immigration standpoint is are we obligated as a people of God to just say, okay, come across our borders and do just come in and live and do all of those things? And really what I see from scripture and only on God's word is no, we're not under that obligation at all. We're called to honor the leaders, and we're called to be lawful people unless it goes against God's word. And immigration, just like back in Israel's day, if someone wanted to become an Israelite, they had to renounce everything and they had to go through a process to become that. And even becoming a Christian would require repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and renouncing all the old. And I think it's the same in the sense of this, that if someone wants to come to our country, okay, you're more than welcome to, but there's a process that you have to go through. Do it the right way. Don't try and use children as a shield, and don't try and use other people to kind of get through. And I'm sorry your call dropped, but don't try and get through our system by using, hold on, might be you again there. Is that you? Did you drop?
Yeah, sorry about that, brother. My
oh, no, it's okay. It showed me that your call had dropped, and I was like, all right. So when I look at this from the standpoint of God's word, I don't see that we're under any obligation to just open up our borders. I do believe we can be humane, but if you're going to cross our border and break the law, God takes that very seriously. And so, and especially if you're breaking the law, trying to use another human as a shield in order to get away with it, that's even worse. There's many people that have come into our country and they've done it the right way and they love our country. And, you know, I still say there's no Christian nation on this earth. I'm the happiest to be in America. I praise God for him putting me here. And I value the people who come to this country, regardless of whether they have a lot of money, little money, but they come here and they want to be a part of our country and they go through the right process. You know what? Yeah, we'll open up the doors. We'll help you. We'll help you get started because you're showing the love and the value of wanting to be a part of this country. So when I hear the quote, Democrats make the statement, you know, the poor children, you know, I look at what Obama did and no one said anything about the conditions those people were living in back then. So I get your point. I think it's just sad in general that we, as you know, people up in Washington would use people as, oh golly, just little chips in their little poker game to try and win political power, regardless of who you are. It's just people's lives, and if we go about it as a nation of law, then I think that works itself out.
I think I don't know if you remember the parable Jesus talked about when he talked about the steward who his master was basically going to have him like fire him, and he went about he went through the books and he basically, you know, made deals with everyone that he owed, put himself in a good position after the fact. And Jesus did something really fascinating after that. He talked about how the children of this world are much more shrewd and much more wise than the children of the kingdom. And he instructed the disciples to have a mentality going forward of being, you know, innocent as lambs, but being as wise as snakes.
Yep.
And it's sort of like I see that played out in this whole scenario, in the sense that because many people in America have been influenced by Christianity, whether they may not even be Christians now, but the general moral view that America has been influenced by that way of thinking, and that's why Americans are always known to be more compassionate than most other nations are, especially in regards to, you know, people from other countries needing help. And I feel like these politicians are like the ones that they're being shrewd and they're playing on that compassion, and they realize that, you know, how they can manipulate things in a way to then, you know, take advantage of that people's genuine compassion for their benefit. This is a classic example of that, and I don't think people realize how sneaky this whole thing is, because what they're doing is, and this is what you're going to see in the 2 weeks, is now that Trump passed the executive order, for example, to say that children and you know, parents will no longer be separated but held together and going in custody throughout, is there's already a precedent set in place that children cannot be held in custody for more than 20 days. That was why we had the separation in the first place, because the children after 20 days were basically let free and were, you know, brought into the system and had people, sponsors, take care of them. And the parents remained under custody until they were prosecuted or something was adjudicated of some kind. And in this case, now that they're going to have them together, what they're going to do is they're going to use that as a wedge issue to basically say, now you have to release the entire family together after 20 days. And what this is going to set off is going to set off a gigantic loophole that's going to be a green light to everybody in South America, Central America, and Mexico to say, if you come here and get across the border, as long as you have a child with you that you can claim that you're a family unit, you will now be given 20 days and then be set free. And so they're basically putting in the catch-and-release policy that we had under Obama, which
gotcha.
to some you know, may sound like a good thing, but what this is going to do is this is going to create a gigantic magnet, and it's going to exacerbate the problem. So I think it comes down to this. Either you're for open borders, just be open about it, and just say, let's just stop this whole pretense of trying to halt illegal immigration, just let anybody in, or we actually enforce it, and it has to be done in a heavy-handed manner. But this in-between thing is why we're at where we're at, because we have to play this game with the Democrats of supposedly doing a nuance when there's no nuance. Either you end it or you open it completely, because every nuance is just a loophole that gets exploited. So I just wish our country would be smarter about this and stop playing this political game, just actually deal with the issue, because there's a lot of innocent people get taken advantage of by all these traffickers who tell people, oh, if you pay a certain fee, we'll get you to America. And a lot of people don't realize that when they do that, they actually take a lot of these young people, young children, young women, and sell them into sex trafficking. They oftentimes they get killed and they get sold. Their organs get took out of their body and they get sold off. All kinds of stuff happens. And this
sick. No, I hear you. Yeah, that's over. You know, when we talk about the gospel, that type of wickedness that you just talked about, absolutely. And I mean, it's just the evilness of the people. And I'm going to have to move on to my last subject here, but I wanted to say thank you for taking the time to call in. I really appreciate it. You're always welcome to call back in. But thanks for your points. And I'm going to move on to my next topic now. So what's your name again?
Yeah, my name is Michael, sir. Thank you. And
thanks, Michael, for calling in. I appreciate it. Thank you again, Michael. I'm going to go ahead and hang up now, and I'm going to move on real quick. So thank you. So I wanted to appreciate Michael having pulled in. And he brought up something. I think really it's going to be a good way for us to kind of end the show. Talking about all the loopholes and all of the things going on, we'll see, friends, that's what sin has done to us. And when I say sin, that to all of us, it hardens our hearts. It changes us so that we become prideful and selfish, and we look for things, for power. We look for how we can use people against people, how we can instill fear, or how we can do passion. All of these things betray our hearts as wicked. And what has happened is that God, you know, told us that, you know, the greatest commandments were what? To love Him first and foremost with everything, and to love our neighbor as ourself. And none of us have done that because of sin. And God could have left us like that and judged us all and condemned us, and He would have been right to do it. But He didn't. What He did is He sent His Son, Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Holy Trinity, who came, who lived the life we could not, never sinning in thought, word, or deed. He died on a cross. He became a substitution. He paid the price. He took upon Himself that which we deserve. And then He was put in a grave after He died on that cross, tetelestai, it is finished. And on the third day, He rose again. And the importance of that is it shows that the vindication of His life, the sacrifice, was accepted in God's eyes so that God could be the just and the justifier. Those are legal terms. The just and the justifier of those who have faith in Christ. And what God commands us to do is repent, turn of our sin, and trust in Jesus, His finished work. And He forgives us our sins and gives us eternal life. And then we are truly brought back into the kingdom. We are brought and we are called children of God. No longer aliens and strangers. No longer waiting on the outside. We are brought in, legally declared righteous, given the righteousness of Christ. And fellow joint heirs with Christ. What a blessing. This is a good time, good show. Grateful of the Lord to be able to have it today. With all the things going on, please continue to pray for myself and my family as we continue to still, you know, mourn over my mom's passing. Please pray for me as I continue to get ready for South Africa and what will be going on there. We'll get more into that here soon, but praise God that He has come and done for us what we couldn't do. Praise God that we are aliens and strangers in this foreign land, and we are going home to be with Him where He is. My friends, if you do not know that you will be with God in heaven, if you do not know that you are now a joint heir with Christ, I beg you today, I beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And you do that only one way. There is no multiple ways. There is no reincarnation. There is no nirvana. There is no five pillars. There's only one way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. Repentance, turning from your sin, acknowledging them, righteously looking up to the Lord, declaring His righteousness, our sinfulness, that we deserve His judgment, that we feel the weight of our sin against Holy God. Can't say that enough. That we have to understand how vile sin is, that God would slay His Son. That price would have to be paid. A spotless, perfect sacrifice. So that God could look upon those who would come humbly, broken spirits, contrite hearts, and say, God, I am wrong. I am guilty. Please forgive me that I have not listened to you. I have not obeyed you. But because of your Son and on His account only, on His merits alone, I ask you please to forgive me and give me the life that you have put that is in Him. My friends, if you come in the manner that is prescribed, God declares that He is faithful and righteous, that He will forgive your sins. He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will give you a new heart. He will grant you eternal life. And that's my prayer today. Just as those people, those immigrants down at the southern border are looking for whatever, whether it's open, to get into America or not, the time is short. And when the Lord closes the doors, many are going to bang on that door and say, Lord, let us in. And He's going to say, depart. I don't know you. Depart from me, all you who do lawlessness, wickedness. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Turn from your sin. Trust in Christ. All right. Until next time, which hopefully is next week. It's been a pleasure to be here today. The Lord richly bless you. Yeah. All right. You take care. Have a good one. Bye now.